From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. Yes, this is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN on your AM dial. You can also listen to the show on 1430ESPNFresno.com right there on the Listen Live button. And we are really pumping up the app. The app is a great place to listen to all the great radio shows that we have here on ESPN. And everybody should know this, that we are now the flagship station for all things Fresno State Athletics. Super pumped about that. And super pumped to talk about high school sports live here at First String Sports. And I just made a little 34-second video and posted out there on social media on how awesome this place looks here at First String Sports. I did my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, which is off to the right-hand side. That's their big seller here at First String Sports, a place where you can get your Letterman's jackets configured, get all that cool patches on your Letterman's jacket. So they built a brand-new desk just for me. Tore down where they had their high-end baseball gloves and turned it into a little studio. Looks fantastic. Letterman's jacket's behind me. They're going to rotate them. So there's five of them up there right now. We have the Kingsburg one. We have the Matilda Torres, Clovis South, Sanger West, and Clovis West. And we got a Buchanan one, too, because a couple of my guests have some Buchanan roots, actually graduates of Buchanan. But this setup is absolutely amazing here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. We got the speaker piped in and everything. So just great ambiance here at the store. Great place to talk about high school sports. And if this is your first time listening to the show, or you're a longtime listener or casual listener, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. I'm calling this our high school football preview show. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be chopping it up the best we can. I know that the Central Valley, the Central Section, right, with our coastal schools and our schools up in the mountains as well. We can't say Central Valley, but Central Section. There's, I think, 130. Could be wrong on that. I need to double check. But well over 100 schools in the Central Section. We're going to be breaking down mainly three different leagues, the track, the ones down in Bakersfield, called the Yosemite Leagues, and a little bit about the CMAC towards the end of the show. So we're going to be doing our best to talk about high school football in the next 2 hours, give you guys a lay of the land. I have some rankings as well. We're going to talk about the non-league schedule. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys again for listening. A few things before I talk about who's coming on the show. Our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. Gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. We're looking at right now 73 degrees, a high of 92. It's going to be ramped back up. Yesterday was beautiful weather as well. For high school football games, starting on Thursday, there's 9 games on Thursday. There are 53 scheduled for Friday. And Friday's weather is supposed to be 100 degrees, a high of 100. It's been worse for opening kickoff. But I'll take that. Not horrible. And again, games are starting at 7, a few at 7:30. So it's not going to be too crazy for our varsity games. Maybe a little bit hot for our freshman and JV teams, but excited to get the season going. Also want to give a shout-out to Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. They have two places in Fresno on Blackstone and one in Clovis on Herndon Avenue. Want to give a shout-out to those guys for sponsoring the show. Scrimmages been completed. Was able to check out a few the last couple days on Wednesday and Thursday before they ramp up next week, so when the games really begin. I was able to check out the Clovis West and Redwood scrimmage. A lot of chatter about Clovis West this year, mainly because of their star quarterback, J.J. Howard. He has tons of offers. He's only a junior. Started as a freshman. So he's got some weapons around him. That's for darn sure. Redwood, a lot of success last year. Didn't advance too far in the playoffs, but they got a good thing going over there with Coach Allen. what I saw from them, lacking in skill players a little bit, but they look like a high school football team, meaning the size is there. Offensive and defensive line, I think, for them is going to be a strength. Clovis West, a little bit slow starting, but, man, they're going to be a team that is going to be extremely explosive. And they showed some of the skills in that game. I think they scored 4 touchdowns in that one. And I went to a 3-teamer, Samakin Memorial, Hoover, and Emmanuel yesterday. I didn't get a good look at Emmanuel, but I heard they scored 3 touchdowns against Hoover, did not give up any, and scored 3 against Memorial and only gave up 1. Hoover looked pretty good as well. They had some size, was impressed by them. Samakin Memorial, it's one of the big intriguing storylines this coming year with Damon Jenkins taking over the program. You know, his success at Kerman. And he's diving all in, diving all in. I think it's going to take a couple years, but I think they're going to be contending for league titles here in a few years. And then I jotted over to the Bullard and Clovis North scrimmage at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Bullard going with a sophomore quarterback this year after Tyler Franklin. I want to give another shout-out to Tyler. He's already there, the University of Wyoming, to play quarterback. Clovis North is going to be starting a freshman. And we're going to be talking about Clovis North with Austin Kemp here after the break. But he looked pretty good. I was pretty impressed. 6'3", good size. Clovis North, I think they were down a couple of linemen. And I know that's kind of the topic of conversation this year. Kind of feel like not a lot of teams out there. There are a few. Still got your Sangers out there that have really big offensive lines. But I'm not seeing a lot of big offensive lines back in the past, those big hogs, those big dudes in the trenches. So that's something to look out for this year. All right, so I mentioned Austin Kemp. He's here live right now at First String Sports after their break. We're going to be talking about the track. We're going to be breaking down the non-league schedule. We have a bunch of dudes we want to highlight. There's a lot of D1 guys in the track this year, as always. It's a nice pipeline to watch them play on Saturday. So we're going to be talking about each team, going over their schedules, who looks strong. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've known Austin for a long time. We had a podcast together. He played in the track, and he's well aware of how strong each program is. So we're going to be breaking that down with Austin. That will take us actually all the way up to hour number 2. We're going to switch it a bit and go down south. Trevor Horn is coming on the show. Trevor, been on the show a lot, and there's a good reason. That guy knows Kern County like the back of his hand. He's back on TV. He's doing TV spots. He wrote for the Bakersfield Californian for a long time. Had a little TV show as well called B Varsity Live. He knows these schools in and out. He's a big personality guy. Love talking with Trevor. We're going to be breaking down, how good is Bakersfield Christian this year? How good is Garces? A lot of chatter about Garces. A lot of people have them as one of the top teams in the Central Section. What's going on with Liberty of Bakersfield? You know, the powerhouse that they had with Brian Nixon as their coach. He's no longer there. What's their program look like these days? How good are the Drillers? They lost some players, but I heard they looked really, really good in their scrimmage. Lots of things to talk about. It'll be good information. Get the lay of the land down there south of 99. All right, I'm going to go over, and I will with Trevor as well, because I want to know where we differ at. I'm going to go over my rankings really quick before we take a break and bring on Austin here. Number one team, I have Central East. No-brainer right there. Everybody has Central East as their number one team. Before I get to the other schools, interesting development last night. I had Coach Kyle Biggs on the show last week, and we talked about their game against Pinecrest Academy, Sloan Canyon in Henderson, Nevada. First of all, why did he even schedule that game? His quick answer to that was, nobody in the Central Section would play us in week one. He just came out and said it. So anyway, they got that game scheduled there in Henderson, Nevada, a week before the Central Section starts. In Nevada, they start at that week one on the 14th as well, so it flowed for their schedule. So lots of moving parts, obviously, when you're traveling 5 hours and 44 minutes. They went up last night, or sorry, they went up Thursday, scheduled to kick off, and I said the word scheduled, for 6 o'clock. So I was, you know, ready to watch it on Huddle, as a lot of people were, and I clicked on it, and it was, I think, about 6:07, and nothing was there. Okay, what's going on? So what do people do when they don't want to know information? Jump on social media, X, and see what's happening. Lightning delay. Okay, not a good sign. We've seen that before. Bakersfield, there's that famous Buchanan Liberty game a few years ago where it was stopped by lightning. So scheduled to kick off at 9:30. Okay, what does that look like? Because they were not staying another night. They were driving home after the game. So 3.5 hours later, they finally kicked off. They got through a quarter and a half. Pinecrest was up 14-7. And flashes in the sky. So, like, that's it. We're done. We can't play. It's already, what, 10-something, 10:15? This game might be over by midnight. I mean, it's crazy. So, stop the game. What I'm hearing is that it's declared a no contest, meaning no winner, no loser. So all of that, all of the money, fundraising, travel, everything, all for naught. How disappointing is that? I mean, it's for the parents as well, spent a lot of money. I mean, what can you do, though? It's weather-related, can't control the weather. But you got to feel disappointed if you're Central East, right? Big game. This team was pretty formidable, made it to the state championship last year. And to have a no-contest game, no winner, no loser, got to be very, very disappointing. So once more information trickles in from that, we'll know more about how that situation went down. But what a crazy way to start the year for Central East. All right, let me go over these just really quick. We're going to dive a little bit deeper later. I have them, Central East, just basically a tier amongst themselves, right? Tier one. Then I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five schools can be interchangeable a little bit. I got Clovis West, Buchanan, Bakersfield Christian. We'll talk about them with Trevor. St. Joseph, Trevor knows a lot about them. And then Garces, another school down in Bakersfield that's made a concentrated effort to have a very competitive team this year. I got them in the next tier. And then this other one, I just kind of seeing the scrimmages and listening to some chatter online and texting some people. You get your Clovis North, Hanford, Clovis High, a lot of questions about those teams. So I see some changes after week one with that. You got Liberty of Bakersfield. Still has some dudes. Still got some strong players there. And you got Sanger. I think Sanger's going to be moving up the rankings as the year goes along. Rio Grande, big school. Redwood, Madera, Clovis East. Bakersfield might be thrown in there next week. Tulare Western's got a strong offensive team. Emmanuel. I mean, they got to be in a conversation for as at least a top 20 team. Independence down there in Bakersfield, Central Valley Christian. Coach Arax has a really good team. All right, so we'll dive in that a little bit more with Trevor. Up next, I got Austin Camp here. Got the spreadsheet up and everything color-coded. We're going to be breaking down these track schools with Austin. You're going to hear it all in the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
High school football season is here. 9 games starting on Thursday, 53 on Friday. I do want to mention this, that we are broadcasting the Golden West at Buchanan game on 1430 ESPN. Again, listen on the app or on the websites. 7 o'clock kickoff, I believe. Phil Benatti and I will be on that call pregame a half an hour before that. So excited to start another season of high school football on ESPN Fresno. A full slate, except for that September 4th week. We are not broadcasting again because there's a little football game going on down south, right? Fresno State and USC that's going to be on this station. So no high school broadcast that night, but all the other Friday nights all the way through the playoffs and the Central Section Championship games. You can listen to it here on ESPN Fresno. All right, so I promised Austin Kemp is coming on, and we're going to be breaking down the track and a players to watch and schedules, and got at least a half an hour here with AK. First of all, you got some life changes, but I want your opinion, Austin. Mm-hmm. When you walked into First String Sports and you saw the new setup, let's be honest, man, what's popping in your mind right away?
Yeah, it's an awesome setup. There's an actual desk here instead of like a foldable table, so it feels a little bit more official. And it's a big desk too, so we can have all of our notes, our laptops.
You put your hat down. You got your water. I got my tea.
We have helmets. So much more room for anything. We could set up a few computers if we wanted to with notes.
How about monitors and right? We could just do a full gamut right here. I mean, how about these helmets?
Yeah, we'll talk to First String and see what they can bring out as the year goes on. We get some monitors, some more helmets, some hats. We'll ask for everything.
And we put a special for you, AK, the Buchanan Letterman's jacket. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering. I saw that. I came in. I was like, that's a Buchanan Letterman. I wonder if he did that on purpose or if it was just coincidence. But knowing you, I was like, he planned that for sure.
And it is also – actually, Ryan Carey did it. Ryan, who works here at First String Sports. That's Emmanuel's same exact Letterman's jacket as well. So I got the same one sitting in my closet – hanging in my closet, I should say. Mm-hmm. As you, but I think yours is a little more decorated than mine.
Well, next time you have me on, I'll wear mine in. You'll wear yours in, and we can compare. We can have the staff vote on it.
Okay, I can guarantee yours is more decorated than mine. With that national baseball number one really, really stands out. The life change that I mentioned. So you're an absolute gamer. Come in here to First String Sports because I know you got a lot of stuff going on at home. You welcomed another addition to the Kemp family.
Yeah, we had our second baby on Monday. It is a girl, so we have one boy, one girl, 2 years apart almost exactly. Our new daughter actually shares the same birthday as you, so I know you are fired up about that. Yep. So, yeah, we're 5 days into the two-kid life and adjusting, I would say.
And I didn't think that the Kemp family made girls. It's a boy-dominated name, isn't it?
It is. Me and my brother are two boys. I had a boy. He had a boy, his first kid. So this is the first girl that I'll be taking care of. And my parents aren't used to girls either. So it's a new experience for everyone.
All right. So how are you going to work the birthday situation? Right. You mentioned August 9th and August 10th. Mm-hmm. Right. The first 5 years are going to be great. Joint birthdays, going to be cute, pictures, cake, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When you get up into the teen, I don't know how you're going to handle the birthday stuff.
Yeah, toddler age, baby age, we're just going same day. We're going to go one day, knock it out, mega birthday. Those back-to-back birthdays when they become a little bit older, that's gonna be a tough weekend, I think.
That's going to be fun.
It's before football starts, though. So that's good.
Yes.
Because there's
summer
birthdays.
That will be like the signal for football season is really, really, really here. Mm-hmm. All right, good timing.
I left my fall Saturdays open.
Good timing on your part. Way to go, Kemps. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I want to talk about that Central East before we break into the Buchanan, Clovis West, Clovis Central East, North, and Clovis East schedules. What are your thoughts? Like when you're hearing about going to Nevada and playing a game and having no scrimmage and traveling and all this stuff, game doesn't kick off till 9:30, a 3.5-hour wait. You play a little bit. You only score 7 points in a quarter and a half. You're probably frustrated already. Then they call the game, and then you got to drive home. No, just all this crazy stuff.
It's crazy. I mean, we have so many teams here in the Central Section that I feel I could put out a quality product that you can play. But then I'm listening to you, and you're talking about how Coach Biggs is saying that they couldn't really find a Central Section opponent in week one. Your words, I mean, he was saying that no one wanted to play them. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, it's like, what are we doing, guys? Like, There's 12 to 15 base Division I teams in the Central Section. Go play Central. I don't know if you're going to win, but go get a quality opponent. Don't dodge someone just because they have some talent. So if that is true and Central had to go out of state because they couldn't find a Central Section opponent, you know, for week one, then honestly, shame on everyone for not trying to make the effort to schedule. And I know like Liberty's playing Clovis East week one, and Frontier's playing Clovis North. So like those schedules could be set, but I feel like there could have been a team step up to play them week one, and no one did, so it kind of screwed them to have to go out of state.
And what a strange way to start your season, coming off of a state championship, probably preseason ranked. I don't know, Cal High Sports coming out with their rankings this week. Probably I'm thinking eight. So the 8th to 10th best team in the state of California, and your year starts like this. And we're going to be following all these storylines, right, mm-hmm. all the way through state playoffs championship week.
And
it's crazy, right? We're going to go back and look at this and see how this affects the season.
Yeah, and I don't know how Coach Biggs feels about it. I'm sure he's maybe now a little bit, I don't know if worried's the right word, but now all of a sudden Central, they didn't have a scrimmage this week because they were supposed to start, and they have a bye week next week now because of this out-of-state game. So they're like, they're quite a few live reps behind everyone. And when they play their first game, they're going to be a full game and then some behind other teams. And, you know, as a coach, that's got to give you a little bit of, like, anxiety thinking about that, because you just don't have as many reps to work things out.
And it's going to be a long 2 weeks because they are not playing next week. Mm-hmm. And then the game against Grant.
Yep.
Right? On the 28th. So this is going to be an interesting 2 weeks for the Central East program. All right. So we'll come back to them in just a second. Let's go left to right here. On the spreadsheet and the schedules here. Buchanan, a team that you're very familiar with. You know a lot of those guys, coaching them in baseball. A lot of really good two-way players, football, baseball for Buchanan this year. Open up with Golden West, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. Then you have CVC, kind of an interesting schedule if you look at it. CVC, Manteca, don't know anything about them. Then you have Liberty of Bakersfield on a Thursday away. Mm-hmm. Then you have Sanger on a Thursday at Sanger. Let's talk first about that schedule. Did anything pop to you?
It's an interesting schedule, like you said. I do kind of like how it's set up. I think the first three games, I would be surprised if they dropped one. I know CVC has a solid team this year, but, you know, they're a lower division team, and I think it'll be tough for them to beat Buchanan. But they should start 3-0, and then you have two really quality opponents before track games start, like you said. At Liberty is, I think they're a little bit down like they've normally been, but they're still a quality opponent. And then Sanger, like you mentioned before this show, you could see Sanger kind of climbing the rankings as the season goes. And again, Sanger's always well coached. It's a tough place to play. So I like it. They should start 3-0. And then they have two really, really good opponents before the track games
start. Yeah, I can see 5-0, right? I know that Sanger game is going to be tough. Hey, thinking about the styles of offenses that they're going to see, it's going to be different than what they're going to see in the track. Golden West, they do have a high-octane type offense. Their quarterback is really good. He can sling it. Unfortunately for them, their number one receiver transferred to Clovis West. Yeah. So they're going to be missing one of their big weapons. CVC, Liberty, and Sanger, they're going to be those tough, grinded out, one in the trenches type game, right? And I think for Buchanan, those are good matchups, because I think offensively they're going to have a bunch of different looks. They're not going to be, you know, run down your throat kind of offense. They could spread you out, have a variety of ways offensively. Getting into their offense and some of their stars in just a second. Defensively, where do you think Buchanan is at? I know that's been their strength last year. We were able to score some points in bunches, but defensively, I thought they were pretty strong this year. What do you think about them this year?
Yeah, they did lose a heck of a player in the secondary last year in Donovan Dunmore, who is now playing at Wisconsin, which is pretty high level in the Big Ten. But like you said, I feel like they got better on defense kind of as the year went on last year. They played Clovis, like they held Clovis tough. They played Clovis East. They almost shut them out. And they had some games where I felt like their defense kind of took over the game. I do feel like it's a bit of a question mark right now, just as new guys kind of break into the secondary. I think they're kind of set at linebacker on the interior D-line. But, you know, losing a guy like Dunmore, losing a defensive end like Russell Devaney, who was super productive for them, we just got to see some games and see how guys adjust before before, like, we kind of know what to expect right now.
So let's talk about some of those dudes. Might as well just talk about that quarterback, right? So Tommy DeVaney, Division I offers, going off the top of my head, Arizona State, Utah, Fresno State. Gosh darn it.
I think Cal's in there.
Cal, there you
Utah.
Go. And Cincinnati.
Yeah,
there
Cincinnati.
You go. And Cincinnati. So those are the teams that are really interested in him. A really good article came out, if you just Google Tommy's name, about his interest in Utah and their interest in him. What are you seeing from that kid? Good size, really strong arm,
yeah.
But
I'm just a big fan of Tommy, and I know this might sound biased a little bit because I do play a part in coaching him on the baseball field too, but Tommy's just such a leader, and he's a guy that people just gravitate towards. And then when it comes to like football specific things, I just feel like he's always in control. His confidence is always high, and the things he can do with his arm, like super strong arm, he can throw off platform as well as anyone. Super good in RPO, short yardage, just get the ball out quick and deliver it accurately. I personally think he's the best quarterback in the section, and the recruiting services would rank him there, and those services would tell you the same thing. I just feel like he can do anything an offense asks of him, and I think he's just poised to. I think he's poised to be the best quarterback in the section.
Well, there's one ranking system. It has him as a 4-star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him from last year to this year? So I was able to check out one practice. What I saw from him compared to last year. Last year, I felt like the arm strength was there. I felt like his throws were too quick. Like he was trying to just gun it through a certain window. This year looks more poised. The accuracy is there. He's putting it on the money on some of those deep balls, right? He's able to loft it in. He's also able to do the short throws. That's something that I noticed a difference between last year and this year.
Yeah, just I think you're kind of like talking about like the touch on his throws,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And we were at their scrimmage again, or I think when they scrimmaged the red-blue scrimmage against themselves, we were sitting there on the field, and there was like a five-minute span where he threw two touchdowns kind of right by us on the sideline with a DB in good coverage, and he kind of just dropped it in the bucket to the receiver, and it was just two of those throws where it was like, well, the receiver's either catching it or not because
yeah.
The DB's not getting it. And I feel like he's just gotten better with his touch, like you're saying, and he's always been a big, strong-sized kid, and believe it or not, I feel like just I didn't see him for June or July, and I see him in August, and he's even a little bit bigger. So he's big, he's strong, he can put it where he wants, he's has a great command and kind of knows where to go with the football. So he's fun to watch.
A couple other guys we want to mention before we move on to Clovis West. They got college D1 guys. So Grant Mosier committed to Fresno State. Talk about looking bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So at the practice, you know, listed at 6'3 last year. I go up. I'm like, hold on a second. Dude, you look like you grew at least an inch. He's like, actually, Paul, I'm 6'5" now. So imagine having a 6'5" linebacker. They're going to line him up a couple different spots defensively. Grant Mosier looks like a football player. Fills out that uniform pretty nicely.
Yeah, he takes up a lot of space on defense. He's pretty versatile, too. He can rush the passer. He can fill a hole. He can drop into coverage. He does everything pretty well. So at that size on a high school football field, you notice him quite a bit. And then I think what else he's doing is playing a little bit of receiver on offense, which I think they'll need him to.
You see him as an outside receiver? Like,
technically a tight end, but I've seen him move outside a little bit. And that with his size, though, he's an instant mismatch for pretty much any DB. And he didn't play a lot of offense last year, but he did play a bit of offense in that central game.
Towards the end of the year, he was unstoppable.
Well, I mean, in that central game, he had like 150 yards and two or three touchdowns, and they almost pulled off an upset because of him.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have a monster year on both sides of the ball. And like you said, at that size, it's so tough to match up with him for a normal high school defensive player, right?
So running backs slot, I feel like they are really set. This is a combination in the central section. I don't know. I'd like to see a better combo than Carvell Wafer, Gannon Sever. I mean, the right tough runners, kind of different styles a little bit. Both can beat you on the edge and inside.
It's funny because we just talked about how great of a quarterback he is and how he will be and how good Grant can be at receiver. But I actually do think this is going to be a predominantly run first team. And the passing game will open up because of that. But and it's like you said, Carvell Wafer, kind of your electric, take the ball 80 yards on any snap type of player. But Gannon Sever, I mean, in their regards, the scrimmage a few nights ago,
man.
He had two or three touchdowns. They were long touchdowns as well. He excellent feet in the hole. Yeah. He can break tackles. He's strong. And I think he even has an offer or two as well. So like they have a great 1-2 punch between Wafer and Sever, and it's probably the best maybe 1-2 running back punch in the section.
Yeah, tough to argue in that one.
Yeah.
A comp for Sever for me, little Trevor Irvin, if you guys remember that name, teamed with Kendall Milton, who ended up being a pretty good darn running back as well. Not as big as Trevor, but some similarities that I saw out there. All right, so that's Buchanan. We like them this year. Preseason, non-league, I guess we could say. I think the schedule is decent. They're not, you know, playing a lot of top 10 teams in the central section, but very formidable team. Really looking forward to watching the Bears this year. All right, so let's move to Clovis West. Bishop Minogue is who they're playing first at home. They went 7-5 last year, and then La Costa Canyon. That's going to be a tough game. They went 9-2. That game is going to be on the road, and then a game again on September 4th. Bakersfield Christian, a lot of eyes on that football game down south. They're actually going to be playing them next year at home. Then Bakersfield High, who might be a tougher game than we think right now. Always tough to play down there at Griffith Field. And then Turlock at home. Looking at that schedule, pretty nice diversity. You got some tough games in there.
I think it's a lot of tough games. I don't think they will go 5-0 or 0-5, but you know, there's a lot of games where you could lose. But you know, I think that's going to set them up for success when they play this track schedule. We mentioned Lucas Gingold, who is the first year head coach, who I'm a big fan of. He's a Valley guy, right? He went through Buchanan, all the Buchanan elementary schools growing up. He coached at Fresno State before coming back. He went to Texas and came back. So I'm a big fan of what he'll eventually get that program to be. Just year one, kind of instilling your culture, getting kids to kind of buy in for what you see is always a little bit tough, right? But he has a nice head start, as he has.
Yeah.
again, we talked about all the quarterbacks. I mean, J.J. Howard is – he holds the most offers of any quarterback in the section, and that's a nice little – present to start
it
with,
is,
you know?
Absolutely. Knowing what you know of Lucas, the new head coach Ingold, I thought he was a run first guy, right? He was a played fullback
at Cal. Yeah.
And
he was a center at Buchanan.
And watching their scrimmage, and he's gonna be the play caller. Mm-hmm. Watching their scrimmage, I liked what I saw. Mm-hmm. I saw different formations, I saw 2x2 stuff where they just flipped it to the running back and chunked about 25 yards. I saw some inside runs. I saw J.J. doing his thing, throwing deep to A.J. Williams, who is 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
So he's got some Bayon Harris type.
For sure.
Yeah, type vibes there. He went up and made a great catch in the scrimmage. Major Lee is a really good running back. Amir Wright, sophomore, did some really good things as freshman. So there are certainly some weapons, but – That was my question moving in. You mentioned that Coach came in with Division I talent, right?
Yeah.
And he probably saw that everywhere when he was in Texas. So mm-hmm. This is nothing new to him. It's kind of how he's going to use those weapons to his advantage. When you got a guy like J.J. Howard, right, you got to be able to use his strengths. So what do you think like the offense might look like? It's going to be tempting, yeah. I know, to throw 35 times a game. But a lot of times that doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not best friends with Coach Gingold, but I have known him for a really long time. And, you know, I coached once upon a time. I coached freshman football at Clovis West in 2016 and 2017. And Lucas was on the Clovis West varsity staff then. And so I interacted with him quite a bit. And there were times where I would kind of just listen and listen to him talk offensive schemes and strategy, and I remember that. I still remember where we were. Like, we were in someone's backyard, and he was just talking schemes, and I was like, this guy's just IQ of football is so high, and I've just held on to that forever. So when he came out to Clovis West, I think they'll be in the right scheme and right formation more times than not. It's all about execution, but I think he's going to be a well-balanced offense. Like you said, it might be hard to not throw a million times a game when you have a quarterback talent like that, but like we said, he was a center, he was a fullback, he probably wants to run the ball. I know he wants to run the ball too, so I think that's going to be a balanced attack, and there's going to be a lot of weapons that can touch the ball for them.
I like what I saw at practice. I like what I saw at scrimmage. So good things are happening at Clovis West. Let's move to Clovis High. Mm-hmm. A lot of question marks, right? We know their success the last couple years, especially last year, making it to the championship game with Deegan Rose. Maddox Merrill, unfortunately, was out for the year. A lot of question marks heading into this season. Unfortunately, their star running back was an Oregon offer, Fresno State. I mean, a lot of schools after him. James Caruso transferred up north. What do you see with the Cougars this year? Coach Nagel taking over the program. Just kind of your over. Actually, let me go over their games. They're playing Bakersfield Thursday, mm-hmm. so make note of that. I'll be at that game. So at home, Monica Stadium this Thursday, they open up with the Drillers. Then you have Salinas. They've been playing them for a long time. Sanger, Los Gatos, and Bullard.
I mean, it's a schedule that I think they should win more games than not, but there's a few kind of interesting 50-50 games in there. You mentioned the Bakersfield game. That's going to be tough because if nothing else, Bakersfield is always super athletic, and they can kind of make you pay over the top or on defense. They're usually, again, very fast, very athletic. You have Sanger, who's always a tough out no matter where you are. And then Bullard, who's been down, but that's a rivalry game. Things can get weird. So not extremely like high-level teams on that schedule, but just enough games to where I feel like, you know, if...
We'll find out a lot about them.
Yeah, you might be a possession or like one possession from a win or one possession from a loss in some of those games.
Yeah, you know, offensively, they were able to put up a lot of points last year. It's going to be a much different look this year. Going to have to rely on their defense. Sterling Edwards is back, so there are question marks about him. He was a really good player last year, wide receiver for them. Brock Hartman, who we loved last year watching him play, linebacker. He's their punter. He looked really good punting the football. That guy is a dude. Mo Becerra, they're going to go with him as their quarterback right now. So, yeah, it's going to be a different look Cougar squad this year in Clovis. All right, so let's move to Central East. Talked about them a little bit. I don't know how to frame it. I guess we could say kind of a disaster last night.
Yeah.
Just got a text that they got home at 6 a.m.
That's just brutal because you're probably sleeping all day today.
No scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Austin, go into that. It's a no contest. It's a waste of a trip. Now you got to wait 2 weeks, and you're going to be playing Grant. So it's going to be an interesting week for the Central East team. However, talent-wise, this team can put up some scary numbers. I mentioned Grant. Oak Ridge is going to be a really tough game. So their first first three games, throwing out what happened last night, Grant, Oak Ridge, Turlock, and then Liberty of Bakersfield on a Thursday. Looking at those four moving forward, some pretty good matchups for them.
Good matchups. I mean, they lost to Grant last year. Theoretically, that could be a tough game. Oak Ridge is usually a pretty strong program up north. Turlock, again, kind of year to year, but, I mean, I feel like never that bad. And then Liberty, usually as consistent as anyone in our section.
I think it was Liberty last year that they went down and played them, and that was a very frustrating game for them. I think it only... maybe 35-28 is like a one-score game.
I feel like they held the ball on over a little bit. But, you know, like things get weird when you play in Bakersfield. I know they play them at home this year, but with Central though, I know they lost Brandon Smith, and we've talked a lot about him through the years about what he meant to that program. But there's a lot of guys that have played varsity football on that team, and we talked about how they're behind in because no scrimmage, they missed their first game, but. If there was probably a team for that to happen to that could survive it, it's probably Central. I mean, you have Coach Biggs, who has established himself as probably the best head coach in the Central Section, just based on the results that have happened. And then, you have a third year starting quarterback. You have a ton of receivers with probably 30 plus starts each. They have offensive line, defensive line, all guys that have played a lot of football. So again, it doesn't mean they don't need, those reps, but if there was a team that could survive this wonkiness to start the year, it's probably them.
And I did ask Kyle last week on the show, well, as modern day, St. John Bosco, any of those teams reached out to play you? They're like, yeah, they have. It just hasn't quite worked out. And one of the reasons that Coach mentioned is the roster's down this year. I remember, mm-hmm. Those three in a row Central Section championships before COVID. They had 55 to 60 dudes. Remember when they come out and do their pregame workout and they do the big circle and they're like, oh my gosh, that is a big team. Big in size and mm-hmm. big in numbers. Not the case anymore, but the skill position players, lights out. You mentioned Dipple. I asked Biggs again, what do people say about Jelani? They're like, I can't believe that a kid that is 5'9", 155 pounds can sling the ball like he does. It's a thing of beauty. It's amazing.
It's crazy because, again, you have all these D1 receivers and D1 running backs around him, and you watch him, and he just looks kind of like your normal high school kid. But so much of playing quarterback is being able to read a defense and being able to dissect where to go with the football.
Yeah.
And if you know those two things and you have an average at least arm, you can operate an offense. And especially when you put him in an offense with all these guys, he knows how to read a defense, he knows what he sees, and when he makes the correct read, any one of these receivers, and they have four of them, can take a 5-yard slant or a bubble or a 4-yard hitch and take it 80 yards on any play. So it makes things easier for sure.
RJ Jefferson is back with them. Kevin Cooks, who made some incredible plays last year as a sophomore. Bayon Harris, a little question mark about him moving forward this year. But it's a receiving core that's one of the top in the state of California. Xavier Jones, mm-hmm. he's a really good athlete, headed to San Diego State. Running back, they got a transfer running back who's going to try to fill why am I blanking?
Brandon Smith.
Brandon, oh my gosh. Try to fill Brandon's role. Central East, top to bottom, strong team. Consensus number one. All right, we got about 5 minutes, Austin.
Yeah, we can speed style.
Speed style. Clovis North, got to watch them in the scrimmage against Bullard. I mentioned their quarterback. Man, Liam Martin looked really good, 6'3", good size, looking about 175 pounds. When you hear about a freshman quarterback, obviously you want to get some eyeballs on him. And he threw a really pretty football. Looked really good in the pocket, made different types of throws. Offensive line is a strength for them moving into the year. They returned that really good running back, J.R. Cruz, who was an all-track kid last year. Lonnie Robinson is quarterback. Cooper Haydock, linebacker, junior this year. He's got some college interest as well. Young team for Coach Colby Hunter. I think they're a couple years away from really competing for a track title, but for the most part, I liked what I saw in that scrimmage.
Yeah, likely not a track title team this year. However, and, it's going to be hard to win with a freshman quarterback because that's just the nature of the game. However, I don't know, we texted someone who maybe thought they have the best O-line in the section. And when we heard that, we were like, ooh, because as soon as you have that piece, then all of a sudden, winning games isn't easy. But if you're talking one of the top O-lines, it makes things a lot easier to win games. So that'll be something to keep an eye on early on. They have Frontier to open up, which is a good Central Section matchup. I think we're going to learn a lot from that game. But if they can run the ball behind a good O-line, reportedly, and a returning all-track running back, that's kind of the recipe they won it all with a few years ago under Jaycott. I know they had a lot of good players, but again, it was good O-line and good running game, and that took them all the way to the title game.
So let's go over their schedule really quick. So we mentioned Frontier. That's going to be down in Bakersfield. Edison, the Tigers, on Thursday. That's going to be a home game. Archbishop Mitty at home. Madera at home. So three home games in a row. I like that Madera matchup. That's going to be fun. San Ramon Valley, that game is going to be away. So let's move to Clovis East. Their schedule, Liberty of Bakersfield to open up, Centennial, Turlock. Turlock's actually playing three track teams this year, Clovis West, Central East, and Clovis East. And then Sanger. Sanger's, yeah, I like what Sanger's done with their schedule. And then there's Frontier again. So a couple, three Bakersfield schools
this
for
is an
Clovis
ideal,
East.
This is an ideal Central section schedule. I love it. You got, again, like you said, three Bakersfield schools, all D1 Bakersfield schools. You have maybe one kind of out-of-town team in Turlock, and then Sanger. I feel like this is how most Central section team schedules should look. And I love it because it's all – it's all local for the most part.
Their strength is going to be offensive defensive line. They got some dude there. They got Austin Plaza, who's headed to Fresno State, offensive lineman. That guy is going to move some people around. They got a good receiver. I hear a lot about Elijah Wilson. Mm-hmm. So they got some talent there. Isaiah Carter is reportedly their quarterback this year. George Petrasson's second year. I'm a big fan of George, man. George is awesome. Get along great with him. So Clovis West, you know, obviously it's not the team that they had, you know, 2-3 years ago, and everybody knows that. It's no secret. But I like George. He's a offensive line kind of guy. So yeah, there's definitely some wins there in that non-league schedule.
Their strength is the offensive line and defensive line. Like you said, Austin Plaza, offensive lineman, committed to Fresno State. They actually have another offensive lineman, Deegan Bingham, I believe his name is, has offers from Fresno State and
what?
UNLV.
Oh, there you go.
And they have a defensive lineman with offers from Fresno State, Colorado State, Idaho, and Cal Poly. So they have some Division I potential bodies on the lines. I think they might struggle in the secondary, maybe a little bit at receiver. But like we just talked about with Clovis North, you have some guys that can move people and defend the run. It should theoretically keep you in some games.
All right, final thoughts here, Austin. Broke down the track as best as possible in the half an hour that we had. Your final thoughts on the track, the quality of football. What are you seeing here?
I think we're just in a golden era of track quarterbacks. We went from, I feel like, Tate Miller to Deegan Rose to J.J. Howard to Tommy Devaney. I feel like this run of, like, I would classify all of them as high-level quarterbacks. Enjoy it while you can, because we don't always have that, right? And these are all high-level quarterbacks that we're talking about. So get out, enjoy the quarterback play, because there's a lot of good of it. There's a lot of good quarterback play in the track.
Hey, good stuff as always. Then league starts on October 2nd. So I'm predicting a champion, Central Section champion, is going to come out of the track. That's my bold prediction, which isn't super bold. But, yeah, I like what I see here. Hey, AK, congrats again on the new addition to the family. Always great to talk sports with you, my friend.
Yes, thanks for having me as always.
You bet. All right, that is a wrap for hour number one. My gosh, time flies. We have take a break here, come back. We're going to be talking with Trevor Horn. We're going to hear more about the Kern County area schools. How good are some of these Bakersfield schools down there? We're going to be talking about a little more about the CMAC at the end of the hour as well. So take a little bit of a break, bring on Trevor Horn. This is a Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. 1430 ESPN Fresno, your local sports leader. If you miss any part of the show, you can go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com. And listen to it. Boom, right there. Download. Also listen on the app. The app's pretty awesome. I do it all the time. When I am out of range for the station, I go to the app and listen to all the great shows here on 1430 ESPN. You got Gonzo's show, Rise Show with Gonzo in the morning. Make sure you listen to that. Phil Bonatti's show, Behind the Bench, starting at 3. Usually goes to 6. Sometimes he goes to 5, depending on the schedule. Then, of course, Tony D's show, The Bulldog Hour, 2 to 3, Monday through Friday. Just had a really good conversation with Austin Kemp, breaking down the teams in the track. Central East, I'm sure you guys are well aware of that crazy stuff that happened last night in Henderson, Nevada. Didn't kick off till 9:30, and then Lightning canceled the game. No contest, no winner, no loser. So just an interesting start the Central East season. We talked about the other teams in the track, and I promise that we're going to be breaking down the teams south of us. Drive down 99, Kern County area, Bakersfield schools. I know there's been a lot of changes and transfers and different schools on top down there, and nobody that I would rather have to talk about Bakersfield area football, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be, food, is my guy Trevor Horn. He's actually back on the TV, KJET sports reporter, and also just a great guy. Trev, how are you doing, my friend?
You sound like a boomer.
Did I butter you up enough, or do you want more?
No, but you sound like a boomer. You sound like a boomer saying the TV.
The YouTube.
Do you call it the Facebook as well?
Yes, I do. I do. The YouTubes. How you doing? What's going on down there in Bakersfield?
Just living the good life, man. It's, you know, here we are. We had scrimmages the last 2 days for football, and, you know, you hear the crack of the pads and, you know, the whistles from the refs, and you know that, you know, the life is it's all getting centered once again, and we got games, obviously. We tried to have a game last night in Nevada, and it didn't work. But here we are getting ready to get at it.
All right, so I have a top 15, and preseason rankings can be tough, right? We even see that in college football, differences of opinions, especially if we don't have eyeballs on all the teams. You kind of go off the information that you have, especially with high school football. Well, you know what? Let's go with yours, and then I'll you know mine. I don't know if there's been any changes to your rankings. Obviously, we're going to get into the Bakersfield schools more with you. But why don't you go over what you got, who you think the top teams are overall in the Central section? We could go off that and go back and forth.
I want to hunker down to like 7 or 8 teams in the top, really, because when you look at it, like, there's just so many nuances. And we try to do this thing where we try to get a good grasp of every team throughout the section. That's 115 teams. So when guys like Paul and I talk about this stuff, it's really subjective, especially since we haven't played a football game and you really don't know. Like, you know, you see a guy and you're like, wow, you put on 20 pounds. You see this team, they're like, oh, they got these transfers, they got all this coming back. What's it going to look like? We don't really know. So this is going to be our best guess. But I think the one thing that we all know is Central East is the number one team in the Central section. And I don't really think it's all that close right now. Oh, hold on, guys. I have an empty bag of potato chips. I'm being shown.
And your little guy just started school, man. So talk about life changes, man. There's a lot of stuff going on there in the Horn household.
Well, it's mom's in L.A., so it's just me and the little guy right now. And, oh, it's moving because of the wind, right, buddy? I got to talk on the phone. Well, I'll be right back. I love you, bud. Sorry, guys. I apologize about that. But that's parenting 101 right there. We pivoted. Where were we, Paul? I apologize.
Well, you're just talking about preseason and how tough it can be, yeah. how it can be, and yeah. You know, you don't get eyeballs on all the teams sometimes.
But I really think that when you look at it, I think until somebody knocks Central East off in the Central section, they're going to be the top dog until that happens. Kyle Biggs has got a great program, obviously. You know, they weren't able to showcase everything that they have last night because of the thunderstorms and the halting of the game, and, you know, you go out there and you hope for the best, and it didn't happen, but that is the best team. And then when you go from there, the way I look at it is I think the next two teams right now, and I think it's a coin flip right now between Buchanan and Clovis West, between number two and the number three team in the Central section. Bakersfield Christian, yeah, they lost their quarterbacks. We'll get into them a little bit. They lost quarterback, receivers, a guy that Arnaz Lee that had 20 sacks last year, but they bring back a lot and they got some big time transfers. So I have them at number four. I really like the way St. Joseph looks. I have them at number five, and I put Garces at number six, and that's because they got a bunch of transfers coming in. I think we're really going to see who the better team is there Friday night, because Garces is at St. Joseph next week. And then Clovis North is in there, and they'll be here in town at Frontier on Friday night. Hanford, Clovis, and Sanger kind of round it out. And Clovis has got a big test with BHS on Thursday, a game I'll be at La Monica on Thursday night.
What does that mean? We're getting together for some food before the game? Can we put
if
that?
If I can get there in time, or if you do takeout and bring it with you, yes, we will have it.
All right. Either way, we'll grow up together. All right. So let's talk about those teams. So I think we're in agreement with our top six. I lumped Central East in a tier by themselves, and then the Clovis West, Buchanan, Bakersfield Christian, St. Joseph, Garces. I like what you did there. I'm on board. All right. So let's talk about Bakersfield Christian. Darren Carr, the head coach, 14-0 all the way to state championship game, a game that I watched online. Man, they had chances to win that football game. Their only loss on the season. They did graduate a lot. Saw a lot of transfers coming in. What's Bakersfield Christian looking like this year?
Loaded. That's the easiest way to say it. When you look at that team, they played St. Mary's out of Stockton for the state championship, you know, and it came down to a field goal going wide left in a 27-24 loss. Just a fantastic football game. Great team. You've got their quarterback, Lincoln Adame, is up at Bakersfield College. Michael Smith's up at Bakersfield College. Andre Calderon's there. Arnez Lee, who had 20 sacks. I think he's at College of Sequoias, playing football now. And, you know, you lose a lot there. But they're bringing back Owen Urosik, his older brother, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings. Owen is a verbal commit to Washington State, tight end, DN for them, Toatia. Great sophomore lineman for them. He's coming back. Darion Page in the backfield. He's coming back. David Aguirre, a lot of people forgot about, had a great sophomore year, but his junior year last year, he was injured a lot. Incredible middle linebacker for BCHS. He's healthy and ready to go this year. Cannon Machado. And then we start talking then about the transfers that they have coming in. And that's the big thing that you look at too. You've got RJ Sheehy coming over. He just got cleared for a full family move, and he's going to be a two-way stud for them. Probably the best, what Cal High Sports likes to call them, the grid hoopers. Incredible basketball player, college recruit at the basketball level, great wide receiver, DB. Played at BHS the last 2 years. He's going into his junior year. He's now at Bakersfield Christian, and he might be that guy that kind of replaces a Michael Smith, the guy who had 1,500 receiving yards and five interceptions on the defensive side of the ball. So you look at somebody to kind of plug in place with a guy like Michael Smith, that's RJ Sheehy. Dennis Perry, great running back last 2 years at Liberty, transferred over to Bakersfield Christian. He's going to be in the backfield with Darion Page, and they're going to be a big two-headed monster there. Then you look at, you also brought in Cannon Machado, who was a sophomore last year at Frontier, all-league guy, great linebacker. He moves over. So he's his junior year, he'll start at Bakersfield Christian. And then the big, big piece, I think, right now is a guy named Colton Michael. You guys may not know the name because he was a quarterback attachment. Attachment isn't known for throwing the ball, but he did set school records last year throwing the ball at Attachment, and that says a lot because they do not throw the ball a lot there at the school on the mountain, as we like to call it down here. He transfers over to Bakersfield Christian. He's 6'5", and he throws a dang good ball, and he's a very smart quarterback. If you guys think about it, if you remember Braden Wingle, who was the guy for Bakersfield Christian when they played for state championship against Camp Orlando and had that great game against Selma about 8 years ago, he is almost like a mirror image of Braden Wingle, which is funny too because Wingle is back now as the head JV coach for Bakersfield Christian. So he's going to mold him in the way he wants, and obviously David Carr is going to put a big stamp on him. So I think that all the pieces that they lost, they're kind of replacing that or bringing JV guys up, or those other starters are going to fill those other positions. The Bakersfield Christian's going to, right now on paper, they are the best team in Kern County.
So their schedule is, they got Faith Lutheran to start the year, and remember they had a tough game with them last year. Then they got the bye, and then the big week, about September 4th, Fresno State at USC. But Clovis West and Bakersfield Christian, man, that's going to be a fantastic matchup.
And you look at it, they've also got Tulare Union at home in non-league, and then they got a big road game against Kennedy, and those are the two teams that play for a state championship out of Kern County. Kennedy won the state championship last year. So Bakersfield Christian's going to get tested early on. Faith Lutheran next week, and now Faith Lutheran is a team that their game got postponed to today. So Faith Lutheran's going to come into Bakersfield next week after playing today, after that game was postponed because of lightning in Las Vegas last night. So there's another wrinkle. It wasn't just Central East that was affected by it. Bakersfield Christian's going to get a team on a shorter rest and a big travel from Vegas Friday night. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens there with Faith Lutheran at Bakersfield Christian next week. And then you get in. And then in league, they're going to be favored in those first four games in October. But the big one, the big one, and it's on a Thursday night, for this regular season finale, they're at home against Independence. And Independence is going to be a very sneaky, sneaky team. We'll get into that in a little bit.
All right. So one thing to remember before we move on is that Bakersfield Christian is still a base D2 team, meaning if they get up, if they moved up to D1, they won't go up to the D1 AA. They'll be in the D1 regular A, I guess you could say.
Just like they were last year.
Yes.
Just like they were last year, beating Liberty in the finals last year in 1A. And that's the largest championship that Darren Carr in his 10 years has had. He's had numerous section championships, but that was the highest one they have. And again, that can be the highest plateau they have, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, if they do what they're supposed to do, they're going to be back in that D1A bracket this year.
All right, so lots of chatter, lots of unknowns, at least here in the Fresno Clovis area, about Garces. So tell us more about what Garces is doing there and how they were able to jump up to be one of the top five or six teams preseason, at least in the central section.
Well, we're getting to the end of October. This might be another team from Kern County that we're talking about, a D2-based team that's going to be a big player in that 1A bracket because of not only what they have returning, what they have coming in. So they're 2 years removed from a winless campaign in Grant Campbell's first year. Last year, they made it to the D2 quarterfinals. They returned Marcus Gomez, who threw for over 3,000 yards last year. Colby Dilley, two-way guy for them at running back and DB. Treason Wallace, great wide receiver. Bodie Letourneau was an all-state safety last year as a freshman. Isaiah LaFotu, linebacker. Sonny LaFotu, his brother, is great. Their older brother plays at Nebraska. You bring all that back, but then you start talking about their transfers. Talk about Carter Hansen, who's a four-star running back, and his older brother, Bryce. Carter Jr. this year, Bryce is going to be a senior. Bring both of them over from Liberty. And then you've got L.J. Riley, a defensive lineman, offensive lineman that has college-level recruit. He came over from Frontier along with Karsten Campbell, who's a Fresno State commit at center. He is also the nephew of the head coach, Grant Campbell. He's coming in as well. And then you have the big one in Jackson Parker. We have not seen a transfer like this in a while coming into the central section. His dad, Larry Parker, stat at Bakersfield High, All-American at USC, played for the Kansas City Chiefs. They moved back to Nebraska 8 years ago. Jackson, his older sister, grew up there. And then they decided that when his sister graduated and she's off to college, they moved Jackson back. And here he comes in. He's the number two overall rated player for the class of 2028 in the state of California.
Wow.
By 24/7 recruiting. So you're talking about a guy who has 19 offers going into his junior year already, and he is going to be the focal point on the defense at safety with Brody Letourneau. So when you look at all those pieces coming in, and then you look at the non-league schedule, Garces could be a big talk of the central section. They open up at St. Joseph on Friday night, which is a huge opener for them. I think it's the top game, really, in the central section in week one when you talk about two teams in the top 10 going at it. And that's why, you know, you look at that 5-6 matchup, it's going to be a really big game. But then they got a home game against Wasco. They're at Tatchby on a Thursday night. The next week they're at Memorial in the Holy Bowl, and then they play North High out of Bakersfield. That's a schedule. If they get through St. Joseph, they might be going in the league game with that first one at home against Bakersfield High in October, first week in October. They might be 5-0 with a bunch of head of steam moving into it, and it might be hard for them to beat. If they're 9-1, 10-0, don't be surprised.
Yeah, we could get a good look at him in that September 11th game Saturday. San Joaquin Memorial, that's going to be here. So that's something that we're going to be looking forward to. All right, really quick, Trevor, we're going to move on. I want to talk about other teams for sure. Help me out to understand why Garces, Bakersfield Christian are not in the same league. So Garces' league comparatively also.
Really similar,
I know, I can you do
really
that in 1 minute. So Garces, Bakersfield, Centennial,
answer.
Frontier. Help me out.
It's because of the school sizes. Obviously, the private schools are much smaller than the other ones, and they don't have lower-level programs. So if you put both of them in the same league, what you're doing is you're taking away from the other teams in the league. You're basically telling them that 40% of your leagues at the Frost Soft level, you're probably not going to have any league games because those two programs don't really have – most of their programs don't go three levels like they do at the public schools here. So that's the reason why Bakersfield Christian and Garces are never in the same league, is because you can't do that because of what you're going to do to the lower-level teams within those leagues. So that's why one stays in the River League and one stays in the Valley. And that's historically been that way because it has nothing to do with anything other than you can't field enough lower levels to be competitive with the other schools like a Liberty or a Stockdale or Centennial or Frontier that and Bakersfield High that notoriously are bigger schools and have all three levels across the board. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, there you go. All right, so Liberty of Bakersfield. Remember the Brian Nixon years? I mean, those teams were so, so tough. Last year they really poured it on at the end of the year. I'm hearing a lot of guys transferred out, but offensive defensive line seems like that is a strength. Is that kind of the MO for Liberty this year?
That's exactly what it is. The Hanson brothers, Carter and Bryce Harris, Dennis Perry went over Bakersfield Christian, and then Elijah Fudge, a great DB wide receiver for them. His dad got a job down in the San Diego area, so he's at Carlsbad High School. So those are four very big losses for them. But, you know, you got a big O-line with Maverick Bird, Bryce Goodwin, Elias Cantu, Aiden Drocker. I mean, their O-line probably averages about 6'2", 290. So they're going to be big boys up front. And so Leon Denwood is going to be a great running back. They're going to bring in a new quarterback this year. And then you can't forget about Pierce Bucky. I mean, the guy is just a unicorn. Just going into his sophomore year, but he's 6'5", he's 240. He's a stud on the baseball diamond. He's a stud, you know, obviously, you know, within the family, he might end up being the best of the four brothers. And, you know, two of them are at UCLA right now. And the oldest brother, Zach, just graduated from Stanford after playing for the Cardinal for 5 years. So incredible athlete. I think Liberty's going to be fine. It's just their non-league schedule is going to be brutal. They open up with Clovis East next week. They got Menlo Appleton from the Bay Area at home. Then they go down to Oaks Christian. They got Buchanan at home on September 10th. My goodness. And then the very next week, they're at Central East. That is a juggernaut. That might be the toughest non-league schedule in the Central section. So they're going to be battle-tested. And if they can get through August and September again in October, you know, they might be able to, you know, figure some things out and be a player. I mean, they played for the 1A title last year, Bakersfield Christian. So they still got talent there. It's just one of those things where, you know, you lose a guy like Nixon, it's a little bit harder to be the guy for the guy. But I think Richie Boland does a great job there. He's a great human being. He's a hardworking head coach. He's, you know, he's putting his stamp on that program. But, you know, things shift, things change. It's just the nature of the beast.
So I don't know much about Bakersfield this year. They take on Clovis, so a game that you're going to be at as well. Looking forward to that. What's Bakersfield got this year?
They're fast. They are extremely athletic. They bring back Demir Lomax, just going into his junior year, electric running back. He's going to do great things. They're going to be fine. Mackey, there at quarterback, is going to do a really good job. He's going to his senior year, junior, gosh, I feel bad about that. His father, Duran, who's an assistant coach at Bakersfield College, was a standout at West High here in Bakersfield, went on to Boise State, did a great job. They're going to be good. And, you know, we thought we were going to see two of the best running backs going at it Thursday night, but obviously that's not happened with Clovis, with Caruso moving up to Santa Rosa. But BHS, the Drillers are going to be fine under first-year head coach Cody Stone.
So, do you think, Trevor, that you know, the Bakersfield area as a whole? I want to get into some other schools in just a second. So, what's the best way to describe the landscape right now? Is football in a good spot? Is it a little bit of a lull? Where overall do you think Bakersfield high school football is at right now?
I think talent level, it's not dropping off any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, there are a lot of high schools here in Kern County. There's 19 public high schools within the city of Bakersfield. So, I mean, that's quite a bit. The schools here hover around 1,800 to 2,200. So it's not the talent level, but I think what you're seeing is just kind of a shift in the power. You see the staying power at Shaft with Daryl Perucci and what he's been able to do in 10 years there. You see the staying power with Darren Carr, Bakersfield Christian, and what he's been able to do. You saw what Chris Bandy was able to do. You see what Mario Mion's able to do at Kennedy High School, winning the school's first state championship after only being open since 2008. So what he's been able to do. So you see staying power there. But with Paul Gola leaving Garces, going over to Independence, you see a move over there, Independence. Played Kennedy for the D3 title and a loss before the Thunderbirds were able to win a state championship. Brian Nixon, like we talked about earlier, retiring a couple of years ago. Now he's back as one of the assistant principals at his alma mater at Shafter. I think when you see those two guys kind of moving and one leaving and then Chris Bandy stepping down and going over to Bakersfield College as an assistant coach. You saw a lot of those players that were very successful over Frontier have transferred out because they really weren't sure who the new coach is going to be, because the coaching hiring process took a little bit longer than I think Frontier would have liked. But I think they found a good guy in Jim Artisan. He's a really smart head coach. I think he's going to do great things there at Frontier. But they had a lot of talent move out, but they still have Mekhi Watkins, who's a Fresno State commit. So you got they do have talent there. They looked really good Thursday night. They got a lot of numbers, but it'll be one of those things. But I just think that there's a shift of power here. And I think you see a lot of young up-and-coming head coaches. Foothill is a team. They're a D6-based team. Chris Weddle in his third year. They got five or six transfers coming in. They got a few of those Frontier guys leaving, and they came over. And Foothill looked really, really good last night. Their quarterback, Ismael Ramirez, man, that guy can throw the ball, but it's his wheels that are really going to be the kicker this year. So that'll be a lot of fun to see a D6 team. They're probably going to be a high D5 seed if this all moves the way it's supposed to move. But, yeah, it's really kind of just a shift here in Bakersfield, and I think everybody's just trying to find their way right now. So well, it'll be a lot of fun. Ridgeview's going to be a lot better this year too.
Well, we saw that, Trevor, a few years ago when Sam Key Memorial with Brandon Ramirez played Liberty of Bakersfield. Right? We saw Sam Key Memorial really build up to that year, and now rebuilding under Damon Jenkins. And we've seen that with a few of our public schools in the Clovis area as well, Central East, what they've done the last 10 years under Kyle Biggs. But the emergence, as you were alluding to, of the Bakersfield Christian and the Garces, who went 0-10 a couple years ago, and now we're talking about them being
exactly
the top five or six. It's a different ballgame in this day and age in high school football, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just one of those things, parents talk to other parents and they figure out what their wants and needs are for their, in terms of football, their sons and what they want to do. And it's their own prerogative to what they want to do. But I think really when you look at it and you see all the transfers up in the Fresno area too, you see, teams like, McLean thinking they're going to have a stud and he transfers down there, Roosevelt or these things. We see it down here too, where you go, man, this guy is so good at this school, but then he transfers over and it's just, people wanting what people want. And, whether you like it or not, it's here to stay. And that's basically what we just kind of look at this whole thing. Like, what are we going to do? You let parents do whatever they do. And if it works out for them, great. If it doesn't, you feel bad for them as well.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and go there a little bit, Trevor. So it's a topic of conversation definitely here in the Central Valley. As far as the transfer game, we're seeing it in basketball as well. Heck, there's some let's just say social media accounts that, in my opinion, are glorifying transfers and making these graphics and edits. And I don't like it. I don't. I've gone on air. I've gone public. I love the days back when, I'm just going to throw out a school, Clovis West. And you see the little golden eagles there on the field. You see the feeder schools. And you get the kids that are wearing their jerseys already that are 10 years old. And they say, you know what? One day I want to be on that football field. I want to represent Clovis West. Or you see that in Kingsburg, right? One school, one town. That's what I love about the Selmas, Kingsburg, Dinobas, those schools, is that the kids are able to stay in the program. And you work with the kid, and they stick with you, and the parents are involved. It's different now. And what really is lost on this is that a kid gets pulled in many different directions. There's handlers now. There's 7-on-7 coaches that get involved. There's all these other outside sources that are major influences on what goes on the high school football field, basketball court, whatever. And on one hand, I think it's very difficult, right? And it's there's some luster that's been lost from it.
It's a trickle-down effect in the last 4 years of the landscape of football in the United States, from NIL and college football and the ability to open up a portal and be eligible the next year, where last year, if you went, from one conference rival to another when we were younger, you sat out a whole year if you tried to pull that. But now it's like, no, it doesn't even matter. And then, people see that and they want to replicate it. And the thing is there's money in college football. It's a $1 billion industry. There's not a $1 billion industry in high school football. There's going to be some high school programs where parents might have a little bit more money or pull, and they say, hey, just come over here, this or that. But, when it comes to transferring, You know, the CIF and the Central Section, the CIF as a whole is a state, and the Central Section as one of the 10 governing bodies within the CIF, they have a very stringent protocol in order to get somebody eligible. And it's not just cut and dry as just putting your name on a portal and moving forward. You got a checklist. If you want to make a, if you want to be eligible right away and transfer to another school, there's a lot of things you got to do. There's a 7-point checklist of things that the Central Section needs to see that it was a full family move. It's a lot of things about grade transferring being brought over. You have to be able to, you know, have the other school sign off in a timely manner as well. It's not just a cut and dry situation. There's a lot of pieces in there, and if you don't get all of those 7 pieces in there, you're not going to get your full eligibility. And then people forget too that people aren't just transferring to the private schools in the Central Section without any repercussions. They too have to make a full family move. The only difference with the private schools, especially the private schools here in Bakersfield, what they have to do, and it's like this across the board, is you have to move out of the boundary of one school district into another. So if I'm sitting in my home like I am right now, and I'm in the Frontier District, and say the Centennial District is the house next door to me is in the Centennial District. If I moved in that house next door, that's considered a full family move. But if I move 2 miles down the road and it's still in the Frontier School District and I'm trying to move my child, let's say my son's in high school and I'm trying to transfer him, and I'm trying to transfer him from a public school to one of the private schools or from one of the private schools to another private school, and I move 2 miles away, but it's still within that same school district, that's not a full family move either. So there's a lot of intricacies there that people have to take into consideration. It's not just like, well, my son's going to transfer and everything's going to be fine.
Yes.
It's not that way. You have to follow the guidelines.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I'm getting at, Trevor, is that I think there is so much misinformation out there, especially on the parent side, where they think, hey, well, you know, my son wants to go here. There's going to be opportunities. There's some really good wide receivers over there, or there's a really good quarterback. How easy is that going to be? Oh, my gosh, all you got to do is sign a couple papers and prove something. No. It's so much more difficult.
What
we're going to see, though, Trevor.
It's all going to work out.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to see some kids denied. All this stuff is public on the CIF Central Section website. You can go there and see who gets denied and who's eligible to play. However, I think a lot of parents and kids are going to find out they're not going to be eligible for the full 360, or they're going to have to sit out games. They're going to be like, wait, what happened? I just lost my junior year. I just lost a lot of tape that I can use to get to a D1 college or a college. And I think there's just so much misinformation. People don't know.
Well, and a lot of people are getting misinformation from people that are giving them the information they want to hear because they're paying those individuals to say the right things.
Yes.
If you talk to the people that know what they're doing, the athletic directors, the Ryan Toss and Marty Bitters and Matt Chisano and Kelly Jones at the Central Section Office, those are four of the hardest working people that I know. They're going to give you the right answers. Your athletic director, your previous athletic director, and their athletic director you're going to, they're going to know. Don't go to your head football coach and ask them, because guess what? It's their job to stay out of it. It is not their job. The head football coach should not be in it. An assistant coach should not be in talking to you about transfer eligibility. It should be the athletic directors, and that's the way it looks. Just educate yourselves and ask the right questions to the right people to get the right answers.
All right, we got a couple minutes here with you, Trev. Good stuff, as always. Just kind of give us a final thought about high school football. Is any team going to be able to stay with Central East for 4 quarters? Like, what are some final thoughts that you have about this upcoming football season?
Well, you know how high I am on J.J. Howard, so I think Clovis West is going to go how he goes, and they'll be in the mix there. Buchanan just looks like a team that's just waiting and wait to get this thing going. I mean, this is a team that's just been kind of on the cusp, and I think they have that program that's really going to get there, because when you look at it, I don't think any Bakersfield team is going to be in 1AA again this year. So it's going to be very St. Joseph tracks heavy in 1AA, because the best teams in Kern County right now are D2 and D3 and D2 and D3 base between Bakersfield Christian, Garces, Independence, and Kennedy. So it's, you know, right now, I think what we're going to see in October, the battles we're going to see in October, we're going to see them all over again in November, and it's going to be really interesting to see what Buchanan versus Central East looks like in October. No one, we're probably going to see that game again in November.
Hey, good stuff as always, man. Take care of that son of yours. I think the new Paw Patrol movie just came out in theaters, so I saw an advertisement for that.
Well,
could that be a Saturday
right
thing
now
for you?
No, we don't go to the movies. We'll watch stuff that's streaming. He doesn't have the attention span to sit through a movie, so why not just let him sit on the couch where he's comfy and have at it? But we just built his first big boy bed with Minecraft sheets, so he's stoked. He's happy. He loves Minecraft right now, and he just walks around and talks about lava and chicken. If you've got young kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. Hey, good stuff as always, my friend, man. Love you, and see you Thursday.
See you
Let's
Thursday.
Let's do it.
I'll okay. see you Thursday.
All right, brother.
All right.
Take care.
See you, bud. All right. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, Trevor Horn. Good stuff as always. We're going to take a break. I got some more stuff for you guys. We're going to talk a little more CMAC, right? Got a couple other schools to mention as well. You're listening to it all on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good stuff from Trevor there. Always enjoy his conversations. Definitely knows the landscape down there in Kern County. So, got the track covered. We got the Bakersfield area schools covered. So I did promise that we're going to be talking about the teams in the CMAC this year. But I want to give a little bit of love and attention to some of the other conferences really quick. Just a little lay of the land there. So remember the new league realignment goes into effect this year. Ryan Toss was on the show last year, did a really good job explaining it. It looks really good, man. Just go to the CIF Central Section website. You can download it. You won't be able to see yet the breakdown as far as the lower division and higher division, for lack of better terms. So let's just look at the Central Yosemite Conference. That is the Visalia and Tulare School. So you got CVC, El Diamante, Golden West, Hanford, Lemoore, Mission Oak, Menachie, Mount Whitney, Porterville, Redwood, Tulare Union, Tulare Western. We talked about Tulare Western's going to have a good team. Tulare Union's going to be strong again. Redwood, CVC, Golden West, and Hanford. Really good schools there. So let me just scroll down a little bit. So like the Tri-County Conference, you have 12 teams, 12 schools, I should say. In that, you have Carruthers, Dinuba, who's now where they should be, Exeter, Fowler, Hanford West, Emmanuel, Kerman, Kingsburg, Reedley, Selma, Sierra Pacific, and Washington Union. So that's just a little idea of what to look forward to. Obviously, when the games are starting, when league starts, we'll be talking about those schools and their matchups together. But, yeah, let's go ahead and dive in a little bit. We don't have a whole lot of time for the CMAC. So in my master spreadsheet here, Bullard taking on Reno. That game is going to be on Thursday. Then you have Mayfair, McLean, Aurora Grande, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN Fresno, and then Clovis High. So I like those last two games, especially Aurora Grande and Clovis. McLean has a lot of changes this year with their quarterback transferring out or attempting to transfer to Edison. We're going to talk about Edison in just a second. So Bullard, Coach Lewis Franklin, friend of the show, man, love that guy. He's doing an amazing job there at Bullard High School. I got to see their scrimmage against Clovis North. A little bit of a growing year for them. They lost some guys. They lost some transfers. Trevor and I tackled that a little bit. It could be a conversation for another show, but Bullard lost some guys to San Joaquin Memorial. Bullard going with a sophomore quarterback, Chase Case, looked good, strong arm, doesn't have a lot of size. Running back, wide receivers, a little lacking in skill positions this year. So I think Bullard's going to have a decent year. Their first three games are definitely winnable. The last two games are going to be tough. I like that matchup against Clovis High. That's going to be an interesting game. So let's talk about Memorial a little bit. Coach Damon Jenkins taking over the program. Their schedule, interesting. I only see a couple wins in there, I'll be honest. They're a couple years away. They got some guys in, like I said. Kennedy, that first game is going to be a banger at home. Defending state champs. It's going to be a tough game for them. Lemoore, away. Then they have Hanford away. We haven't talked about Hanford this year. Candace Sanchez, you know what they do offensively. And then Carson's on Saturday. It's going to be a game that we're going to be able to check out. And then Los Banos away. The numbers look pretty good for Memorial. Thinking about their sidelines, looks like about 35 to 40 kids on their roster. I think league play, I think they're going to be in a lot of those football games. I think non-league, like I mentioned, those last or the first four games are going to be really, really tough. Really tough. But it's going to be an interesting development over there at San Joaquin Memorial. One to definitely keep an eye on. We're going to be broadcasting a couple of their games this year. And then Edison. We know their story. We know their storied history. Tons of NFL guys from that school, the Tigers. They actually have a bye on their first week. Then they start with Clovis North on a Thursday. Then Centennial, Hoover, Emmanuel, and Tennyson. Interesting non-league schedule. That Emmanuel game stands out to me. Emmanuel looked good against Memorial and Hoover in their scrimmage. Only allowed one touchdown. They scored six. Offensively, I think Edison's going to be able to put up some points after only winning one game in the last couple of years. Offensive, defensive line, they have a lot of guys going both ways. But offensively, they got some dudes. So Edison, I think, is on the uptick. Again, waiting on the transfer news. London Lacey, who put up crazy numbers at McLean last year. So I think things are trending up for Edison. And then going on to Sanger, the Apaches. I love this non-league schedule. Coach Matt Logue set this up for success for sure. So start off with Lemoore at home, then Hanford at home, then the three track schools. Clovis away, Clovis East away, and then Buchanan on a Thursday at home. They got some guys. You know their style of offense. Nothing is changing. It's going to be the grinded out offense, wing tee, double tight, whatever you want to call it. Kendale McGrew, really good running back. Sophomore quarterback last year, so he's back for his junior year. Good grasp of the offense. We know what the Apaches are going to bring every week. And the C-Mac still runs through them. Absolutely does. Still runs through Sanger. Until somebody knocks them off, they are the kings of the C-Mac. Which brings me to the newest school. So Justin Garza is now part of the NYL. And enters Sunnyside in the C-Mac. We all remember a few years ago, they had Tanner Wilson as their quarterback for 4 years, putting up some crazy numbers, scoring a lot of points on the offensive end. Different era for them. Their non-league schedule is Selma. It's going to be a Thursday game to open up. And then they got Porterville, Dinuba, then their bye week, then Washington Union, and then Garza in non-league. Don't know a lot about what they're going to bring to the C-Mac. I know it's a different level than what they're used to in the NYL. But, yeah, a lot of changes over there in Sunnyside. Which brings me to Madera. Coach Kenny Palinelli, hard-nosed coach, alum of the school, knows the landscape of Madera Unified. He's the right guy for the job. I mean, he's a tough-nosed guy. He actually played quarterback. He calls plays. I think they're going to have a really good year. I got them ranked in the top 15. I got them at number 14. So they open up with Garza, then have Torres, Kerman, Clovis North, and then Merced. I like it. I think they're going to a lot of football games. I could see them going 5-0. Definitely. They got a stud at running back. Remember the name. If you know, you know. Anthony Estrada tore it up last year as a freshman. 1,000-yard guy. At one point, I think he missed a couple games, but at one point he was leading the central section in rushing yards as a freshman. So he's back for his sophomore year. They got a tight end defensive end who's committed to Cal Poly, Jaden Martinez. Madera's going to make some noise this year for sure. All right, so there's a little bit of a breakdown of the C-Mac. It's going to be a competitive conference for sure. Again, Sanger, got to be the favorite. Madera's right there as well. All right, so I promised this on the other show, or last week's show, I should say, that it's going to be a little bit of a change in the format of how I'm going to be doing things on the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm going to reserve the last, I don't know, kind of like this segment here, the last 10 to 14 minutes or so, doing some rankings, talking about the games that are going to be played next week. So I have a top seven matchups next week. Nine games on Thursday, 53 games on Friday. But I looked at the schedule, and I found seven games that I think are the top matchups. At number seven, I have Aurora Grande at Kingsburg. Coach Dave Wilson at Kingsburg, staple of the program. It's like Coach Palinelli at Madera. He is a grad of Kingsburg, played there as well. Played at Azusa Pacific. I think they brought back their football program. That's a great matchup. It's going to be a tough one for Kingsburg. Kingsburg's got some really tough games, their first three games of this season. And to lead off, Aurora Grande is going to bring some dudes. Going to bring a big offensive line, new quarterback. But remember that great run that they had last year to end the year, D2 champs. So Kingsburg, Aurora Grande, mentioned Kingsburg, their first three games. Aurora Grande, Redwood, and CVC. So that's certainly a gauntlet. So at seven, Aurora Grande at Kingsburg. At number six, I got Golden West at Buchanan, a game that we're going to be broadcasting. Buchanan got them from anywhere from 2-3 in the Central Section preseason. Got a lot of Division I guys. Golden West, really good offense, good quarterback. Buchanan, though, is definitely going to put on a show in that game. Golden West is going to be tough, but looking forward to watching that one. So that's my number six, Golden West at Buchanan. At number five, I have Clovis East at Liberty. Talked about Liberty. They did lose a lot of guys. A lot of guys transferred out. Well, they're top skill guys. But their strength is going to be their offensive and defensive line. Clovis East, their strength is their D-line. I'm glad Austin mentioned a couple other of their linemen that have offers from Fresno State. I didn't know that. So they might have the best offensive and defensive line in the track. So Clovis East at Liberty, that's going to be a grinded out game. Number four, I got the Kennedy and San Joaquin Memorial game. We're going to learn a lot about Memorial in that one. Kennedy, I liked what Coach Milan has done there. Coming off of the state championship, had a great conversation with them after they won Valley Central Section title. Said, you know what, to build this program up, they played Buchanan a couple years ago. He's like, I'm scheduling some of the top Fresno and Clovis area schools. And so, yeah, that's going to be a great test for both schools. That's going to be a fun one to keep track of. Number three, I have Clovis North at Frontier. Now, why do I have that one so high? Well, I think it's going to be a great test for that young Clovis North Bronco team. Frontier, a lot of talk about them last year. They got a lot of transfers in. That team just did not gel last year. They won a state championship the year before. So a lot of expectations last year. They're not going to be as good, talking about Frontier. Well, Clovis North, they're going to be tested early. Again, going to Bakersfield, it's always, you never know. Never know what to expect. So throwing a freshman out there, Kai Watkins, is a really good defensive back for Frontier. Headed to Fresno State, committed to Fresno State. So that's going to be a big test for the freshman quarterback. At number two, I have Emmanuel at CVC. Now hear me out on this one. Rivals, they play for the boot. It's a big, big deal to play in week one. Remember, they used to be in the same league. Not anymore. CBC is with the Visalia and Tulare schools. Emmanuel's in the Tri-County League. Similar styles. Coach Josh Henderson has some dudes for Emmanuel. Their offensive line isn't as big as last year, but that's what everything is predicated on that. Have a really good running game, opportunistic passing game. CBC, going to have a really good running game as well. So that is going to be a really good match. And how about this? We're going to be doing a CVC home game and an Emmanuel home game this year. It's going to be a battle of who has the best tri-tip. Emmanuel's got really good tri-tip. I can confirm that. Haven't had CVCs yet. So we're going to have a taste test, Phil Bonatti and I. So that matchup this Friday is going to be a great one. At number one, We alluded to this earlier in the show. Garces at St. Joseph, a battle of top 5-6 teams in the Central Section, meeting in week one. A lot of eyeballs on that game. St. Joseph returns their quarterback, their top wide receiver, and their top running back. Trevor talked about how Garces got a lot of talent coming in this year across the board. Really no weakness in Garces this year. So that's going to have some major, major playoff implications. Garces at St. Joseph. All right, got a couple more minutes here before we sign off for the day. Let's go ahead and give some other games that are intriguing. You know what? I think I do have time. I'm going to go rapid fire here to end the show. Let's just talk about, or let's just mention the games that are going to be going on Friday. So Sierra Pacific is taking on Chowchilla. Clovis East and Liberty that we mentioned. Minarets, Division, is it six? Division six, defending champs. They're playing St. Genevieve. Sounds like a knight in the round, King Arthur type stuff, round table. So Minarets, we got Cabrillo and Burbank. We got Mission Prep Oxnard. We got Mount Whitney, San Luis Obispo, Orange Cove and Fireball, Golden Valley and Del Oro. Boron's playing Big Bear. The reason why I mentioned that is because my brother lives in Big Bear. Big Bear, California, up in the mountains. Scroll down a little bit. We have Napomo playing Pioneer Valley. So some coast schools. Parlier playing Hanford West. Parlier has a new head coach. Central, the Grizzlies. No, not the Bengals. The Grizzlies are going to be playing Dos Palos. Garces St. Joseph. We have Kalinga and Roosevelt. Interesting matchup there. Madera South is traveling to Orosi. Kerman is playing at Torres. Riverdale and Avenel. Stockdale and North. Centennial and Independent. That's going to be an interesting matchup. Hoover and Rigetti. Liberty Madera is playing Strathmore. They're hosting them. Tulare Western at LD. Tulare Union and Mission Oak. Morro Bay and Taft. Highland against Porterville. Chavez against Corcoran. Woodlake and Exeter. It's a good matchup. Shafter is starting their season at South. Lemoore and Sanger. It's going to be a really good matchup. Templeton taking on Carruthers. Dinuba and Redwood. Good matchup there. The Golden West and Buchanan game that we talked about. Scroll down a little bit. Actually, that is a good roundup of what's going on next week. All right. That is a breakdown of what's to expect in high school football this year. Hope you guys found some nuggets of information useful. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you all. Also, thanks to Gonzo for producing the show. Great job by him. Thanks to First String Sports, Austin Kemp, Trevor Horn. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.